Good afternoon, dear audience. This is Christian Teig reporting from Koblenz on the second quarter 2017 financial report for CGM. We will follow very much the usual format, meaning that you can follow this presentation, the slides, through the link and webcast, which you can access in the invitation or through the link that was given on our website. Or you can download and review the presentation yourself from our website. I will try, as best as I can, to refer to the slide numbers as I talk through the presentation so that everyone can be on the same page. Typically, these presentations take about 15 minutes, and then we will into a Q&A session. So this brings us to the first slide on the presentation. That is slide numbered 2, the key figures for this second quarter in 2017. I would say these numbers are broadly in line, maybe a small minus on revenue and a small plus on EBITDA. We will get back to the drivers behind this in the subsequent slides. I would say year to date we are broadly in line with what we should expect for this year. We will then step through some of the details on group level. That begins with the slide numbered 3, where we see revenue and profitability. Typically in CGM, the second quarter is very similar to the first quarter in terms of revenue. We see that also in 17, in 16. Sometimes there are some acquisitions that change that picture. But again, that's not untypical what we've seen this year. In profitability, there were about 2.5 million of positive effects, one-offs in this quarter. They were related to some structural changes we did to our HCS business in Italy, so they are completely non-cash and technical. And we sold a small business in Germany, our factoring business that we've tried to build for a few years together with a partner. We sold that to a partner with an accounting gain for about $500,000. You could argue that those effects are balanced by the extra costs that we have to prepare for the TE rollout, so they are between 2 and 3 million in the quarter. So all in all, I guess the 24% EBITDA margin is more or less where we are in our current core business outside the telematics infrastructure in Germany right now. Next slide, slide 4. These are the inner structures of our business model. Very stable, which means we have third-party components into our revenue streams of 17-18%, gross margin 82-83%. Brings us to slide number 5, personnel expenses. We see here on this quarterly graph a clear step up, which begins Q4 last year and now gets into this year. It's creeping up as we are recruiting for the rollout and a new revenue level and operating structure in Germany. That's all normal. That's all how it's planned and executed. Yeah. Into this coming change, which is now fairly soon down the road. Brings us to slide number 6, other expenses. Again, that is a very stable picture. And long term, we have a goal of bringing that down to about 30% of personnel expenses. That's all the work we're doing with our internal systems and internal structures. Today, we're more like the 35%. This quarter was about 34%. But long-term in models, 30% of personnel expenses is where it should be for our operating countries. Brings us to slide number 7, the operating cash flow. It's a very normal Q2. For year-to-date, Q1 and Q2 combined, there are still some effects on working capital from both the Gematik project, the ORS1 project, and internal SAP migrations. This is our ERP CRM consolidation, which delays in some areas in invoicing and cash collection, but that's really coming to an end. That should be the last year where we have these effects. All in all, Q2 was a normal cash collection period for us. Slide number 8 is an overview of our CapEx. It should be clear where we are currently investing, and here it's in 4 areas. We continue to work on our strategy to do more direct distribution and to have more ownership of our sales and service partners in Germany for our doctor and dental software business. We've participated with our partner in our JV in Germany that continues in its very promising and successful tracks. Somewhat higher than normal intangible and tangible assets, which is all the ramp up both for component production and service provision for TE rollout. And then the positive $500,000 is the divestiture, which is already mentioned in Germany. Slide number 9, it's the last group level slide before we move into each operating segment. This is the balance sheet. The only big change from the last financial report, end of March, is that we paid $17.4 million of dividends, and this brings the balance sheet somewhat down in terms of size. Other than that, a very stable picture in terms of its inner compositions. Then we will quickly jump over the placeholder and move to slide number 11, which is the overview of our software for doctors business, the so-called AIS business. We would say that business performed fully in line for the second quarter, except for the U.S. Probably that business is missing 2 to 3 million in terms of revenue year to date compared to what it should be. And that's also probably where I would attribute the small minus on revenue for Q2. Other than that, revenue is now more or less, for all practical purposes, finished in terms of the ORS1 project. And the rest is performing in a normal way, especially if we look at the year-to-date figures. Which brings us to slide number 12, and obviously an area of strong interest within the doctor software business. First, just the more or less final positive and successful words on the ORS1 project, so-called Gematik project. The testing is finished for this first phase, which means that the so-called VSDM service has been successfully tested and completed. I think we have done more than 1 million card checks, which is greatly exceeds the target of the project. So these test installations, these 500, will now go dormant for some months. They will be reawakened the next year when the next phase, which is to test the electronic signature, will be executed. But we are proud and happy about this project. It has greatly served its purpose and is now successfully finished after its more critical and important phase. From now on, our focus is more or less entirely on the rollout of the technology that was developed in this project all over Germany. That starts on slide number 13, where there is an overview of our current assumptions. There are many moving parts to this, build up to the actual start. Sorry for that, but that's how it is. This is, after all, one of the largest IT projects in Europe and definitely the largest in healthcare. So for rollout to start, we need all relevant components, both certified, which is done by this Federal Institute of Data Security, the BSI, according to international standards, and it needs to be approved, accredited by the Gematik organization. They do that according to their own rules. As we wrote in our financial report, we had to deal with changes to the specification for productive operation all the way until the end of June. This was, of course, tempting from the Gematik side also to incorporate all experience gained in the pilots. I guess we would have preferred pencils down somewhat earlier, but at least now pencils are down, and we are in intense both certification and accreditation procedures. From our direct responsibilities parts, this involves the connector and the VPN access service. We are working under a current timeline that both finish before the end of September. Other important components are card readers. However, for this short term or first phase, there is basically one which will be available. That's the one from Ingenico. They're also working hard to get that market ready before the end of September, as are is Arvato with the central components of the infrastructure. So that needs to now be completed in the coming weeks. In terms of hardware production, the main two parts are connectors and card readers. From the connectors we produce ourselves, or it's a contracted production in Austria, and with the current phase, and you cannot pre-produce anything before you have certified software to put on the units, which means that we can only begin to produce, say, mid-September or towards the end of September. Of course, all the ducks are lined up. But based on the current planning, we would have a maximum production capacity with this whole supply chain of about 30,000 units. So that's more or less a hard cap on how much we would be able to do this year. To our knowledge, and we work very closely with Ingenico, they would be able to match that amount in their supply chain and ramp up of production. In terms of installation capacity, we've spent already a lot of time and energy to train our whole network of service partners. We will get back to that, but you know, each service technician can, at least in theory, do two installations per day. So we have a substantial installation capacity once this capacity is deployed. That's probably not a bottleneck. The last one is important. At some point, the doctors need to order. And we launched our first offer into the market beginning of July. That was online, and then the mailings to the complete customer base in Germany took about 14 days. So I guess the launch period was in the first half of July. By now, we have about 1,500 installations booked, which we feel quite good about. That is a very good start. We surely have not been given a lot of help from the doctors' associations for reasons that we don't really understand. But it shows that we are able to communicate directly with doctors, and many of them find our offer good, easy to understand, matches their expectations, and they just simply order. And we see an accelerating sales trend where we certainly would like to book and contract as many, at least in the first stage, of our own customers to generate a momentum and some kind of movement so that mainstream doctors in Germany just buy the packages to connect to the TE infrastructure. But in summary, all four areas, the certification and accreditation one, the production of hardware two, being able to install three, and getting the orders four, all of those assumptions need to be in place, for the rollout to start in high volume. Next slide, slide 14, is just a snapshot of the offer that we launched beginning of July and that we keep valid until end of August. All prices communicated to our customer base are including VAT 19%. So in CGM amounts, the initial per installation revenue component is €3,100 and the recurring component €833 per year. Slide 15 is both a screenshot and a link to a video that we have made both to educate, explain, and promote our offering to the doctors. I encourage all participants on this conference call to see through the video, even if it's in German. You will get the basic hang of it. It takes 4 minutes. The main messages that are being displayed is A, as we are waiting for the availability of components and the final certification, we are actually visiting all our customers and we do a TE Ready check, a pre-installation visit to make sure that, you know, the network is set up in the right way, they have the necessary hardware and that they actually have a running internet connection, that, you know, passwords and access rights are there, so that when we visit them, we can work very effectively. We also, based on our experience from the pilots and the work done so far, we estimate about 90 minutes time to install an average doctor and dental office once it's gone through the TE Ready check. So that means with some travel time, a little bit of meet and greet, that you can actually realistically do. If you allocate a full day for installation work, you can do two sites per day. And of course, everything we do is in a very certified, formal, and secure delivery chain. So you will see the imagery of how the connector and card readers are wrapped in seals and everything. So that should give everyone a feeling that we are definitely not starting from scratch, but we are prepared for what is coming. And of course, very important is that we are able to do this installation in 90 minutes with minimum interruption of doctor's daily work. And again, for efficiency and also for in the interest of doctors and dentists, we do not spend a lot of time in terms of initial training. That's short, but we have a lot of, say, online material and also written manuals, so that they are able to work with this new system component easily from day one and be fairly self-assisted in terms of coming to grips with the new technology. So hopefully this gives a good picture of where we are and what's coming in the coming weeks and months. Brings us to the next operating segment, our pharmacy software. We will there make very short comments on slide number 17. We are here fully in line. Q1 is a little bit more than Q2. Those things are here, I would say, down to smaller variations. When is Easter? When is Easter not? 1 year to another. Again, 3% organic growth year to date is exactly where we see this business trading. Next operating segment, software for hospitals. There's an overview on slide number 19. Fully in line. Here it's a bit opposite. This was a bit down in Q1 and then back in line Q2. It's a good stable development now in the hospital business. We've done some strategic exits from notoriously weak markets. Those would be Turkey and the Middle East. We're now fully out. didn't really impact revenue that much, just for you to know that we are doing things to create a more focused and stronger hospital business as we are working on potentially more structural solutions to this business in the future. Last operating segment here seen together. This is slide number 20, our HCS development. Can only say fully in line, a bit like the hospital side. Maybe a little bit weaker Q1, came back here in Q2 quite nicely. Altogether, some positive developments also, especially on the communication and data side. And on the year-on-year comparison, we see this, that, you know, as we are successfully closing off the bulk of the ORS1 project, this goes out and we're down to the core business in the four sub-segments that you see here on the slide. Brings us to slide number 21, the guidance, which is reaffirmed, meaning that we still expect revenue to be in the range of 600 million to 630, and our EBITDA between 138 and 150. Clearly, our original assumptions for the TE rollout have changed. It was originally assumed and planned that we would be able to start the rollout in the middle of 17, and then gradually increase it over the last 6 months of the year. Now, realistically, revenue will start to flow in October, so we have only 3 months to do the same work. We still see that as very realistic and still the expected outcome, as we have been able to tweak, optimize, and get specific on the installation and deployment process so that we're able to just do more over a shorter time period compared to the original plan. So that concludes the short review of Q2. Slide 22, before we go into the Q&A session, it's just a reminder that we have our investor and analyst conference on October 12th, and then our normal interim report for Q3 will be early November on November 9th. This brings us then to the normal Q&A session. In normal fashions, I sincerely hope that we will have no technical issues this time. Anyone who would like to ask questions, press star 1 on your telephone and you will be queued up and taken into the conference call in sequence. Please.
Hello, it's Andreas Wolf from Warburg Research. Hi, Christian. A couple of questions from my side. So the first one would be regarding the installations. So assuming 2 installations per day, what volume of work do the pre-checks involve and what are fair hourly rates that we could assume? Is it something like 70 to 80 euros that such a service partner might charge? And then maybe you could shed some more light on the U.S. business. What is really causing the decline over there? Do you switch products or what's the underlying trend here? on non-compu group software providers, how do you assess their current ability to connect to the connector? Are they already deploying middleware solutions that you probably offer or that they develop themselves to be able to open or connect the interfaces to this hardware piece? And then the last one on the pricing after the early bird offer, should we expect higher prices afterwards or will you basically follow the reimbursement scheme? Thank you.
Yeah, so for the first question, the installation time, the pre-check, everything we do with our sales and service partner is based on Pauschale, which means fixed prices. They get a certain compensation and have a certain incentive structure where they will get more the higher proportion of the allocated, say, customer base they are able to convert. But whether, you know, technically speaking, at least in terms of our reimbursements to our dealers, whether they do the pre-check in 3 minutes or 30 days is not a concern for us. That's something that they do, say, on their own risk and according to their own abilities. On the non-CGM providers, whether they are ready and their ability to connect, they are incredibly much more ready now than they were 3 months ago. Certainly, I think there's been a great sense of revival and increase in awareness over the last 3 months, also from these software houses. And we are helping them in any which way we can so that they can use our connection package and our connector. And the programming interface is very, say, transparent and easy for them to follow. So, you know, I think we do not provide them source code, but we provide them specifications and guidance, and they will, say, implement the interfaces, call it the middleware, in their own technology and in their own way according to that. Pricing after the early bird offer, you know, I guess we will see when August is gone. What is important is, of course, that we see these early birds as the real pioneers and heroes of German healthcare. They are the good guys, and we are going to treat them that way. So there will be an advantage take that early bird offer. That is very clear, and we will respect that also in whatever tweak to that offer we will do afterwards. But of course, not everyone will place their order by end of August, so there will be other offers. Exactly how they will look, I think will depend on many things. But what is crystal clear is that in hindsight, you will always see the early bird offer as a very good offer. That's important for us. So those were the three questions to the TE rollout. Fourth question was about the U.S. business. That is a long story. It's not something that we are very happy with. Obviously, we have left this year a lot of that business to our trusted local management. I'm not sure that we from the headquarters could have done it much better. Hasn't probably been the easiest of periods. You mentioned or asked about product area. I think that is an important part where we are now switching, not in a very, I would say, high-profile way, but genuinely we are swapping out the cores of our systems in the U.S. with G3 technology, and the U.S. market is one of the first ones where that will be deployed in volume. Whether that is a valid excuse for the revenue shortfall this year, I don't really know, but at least it represents a much stronger footing for the business looking forward, where we have A, products that are long-term strategic for CGM, and B, where those products represent, say, cutting-edge thinking and technology and user interfaces, which we do believe will matter in a market like the U.S. So at least we have the hardest period behind us when we worked that market with fairly old products, and we will gradually now get much more modern and sexy products, which hopefully will give us more of an edge to be more successful in the market.
Great. Thank you.
Hi, Christian. That's Knut from Baader Helvea. Just a couple of questions. First one regarding your comments around the specifications end of June. I just wanted to double check whether I understood your comments correctly, that there are no more changes to be expected. So if I understand it correctly, there's not the risk that at the end of September, Gematik comes again and says, by the way, guys, we have some more specifications that you have to factor in. Is that the right way to read your comments? And when I look at the early bird offer, I think your guidance factors in something like 5,000 to 15,000 installations. You made clear that after August, probably the early bird offer changes and prices likely will go up, but this should be roughly a ballpark. And you have matched already 30% of the low end of that range. So how confident are you that we are getting rather to the high end, also looking at what installations can be done roughly by head? And then lastly, on the topic of M&A, it has been relatively quiet, probably due to the rollout. Can you give us an update how you think about M&A? Is there a pickup of M&A activity to be expected once the rollout starts? Or can we expect something, should we expect something already happening earlier on? Thank you.
So your first statements regarding specifications are correct. It was a big issue which was heavily discussed also on a political level, whether it was even appropriate to include the changes that were included during June. But at least to us, it's crystal clear that that is the basis, that is pencils down, 100% frozen. Everyone is now spending, you know, large amounts of energy to go through the certification and accreditation based on those specifications. At the end, that's also how it was done in the pilot. It took forever to reach a decision, but once that specification was frozen, that is something that you can rely on. And again, the pilots are over. There are no more findings. That's what is the basis for the productive operation. On the early bird offer confidence, I think the ranges that you have backtracked are correct. As of today, given, say, all the dynamics that still are there, we will not place ourselves in that interval. You know, theoretically, we could do 30,000. That's probably unlikely, but again, that's theoretically possible, but 5 to 15,000 we think is a necessary range still to accommodate all the possible scenarios in the coming period. But we are confident that we will achieve at least the minimum level, and if not impossible, it's probably unlikely that we will go above the high range. You know, on the 9th of November, I guess we will know. Much before that, I don't think so, actually. M&A, as always, something that is hard to comment, other in more or less trivialities. So I will. I can only offer you some trivialities. Clearly, we have, just as fact, not done much over the last 12 to 24 months. That we have enough on our plate, which also involves very senior management, especially here in Germany, is also clear. And that is the situation that people should expect until we have the rollout on a solid footing. And then, of course, our buy and build strategy is unchanged, and we would be more proactive in terms of continuing that. The proactive part would then probably not have much effect this year, but would then come more into our books potentially next year if something became successful from that. And as always in M&A, you always have to react and respond to movements in the market. So anything can happen. But of course, the proactive part that we play has been down over the last period and will probably remain down for the remainder of the year. And then we are back to good old CGM with a larger revenue and profitability base on core business and still looking for good acquisitions.
Thank you, Christian. Just one follow-up regarding the revenue momentum. It was slightly down, as you said, in the second quarter. And is it then fair to assume that growth should accelerate also on the back of the measures you took in the U.S. by replacing, swapping out the cores of your solutions with the CG solutions, and hence revenue momentum should rather accelerate a bit from an organic perspective from the Q2 levels?
So I think our organic outlook for the full year is unchanged altogether. We, in our internal, say, analysis, I can say so much that we still think that the U.S. will underperform also in the second half, hopefully a little bit less. But the effects from the measures taken and say, also given that this is not a big bang, high profile, you know, rip and replace product migration strategy in the U.S., it's done much more clever than that. Under the radar, we believe that from that specific initiative, the effects will more come next year. But they will come next year. If they come, they will be there next year, not much further, you know, not in 19 or 20. But as I said, all in all, we're okay. You know, it was in line with the first half. The difference between Q1 and Q2 is not, as we see it, systematic. US was also not particularly strong in Q1. And again, we see a pretty similar picture in the second half for the core business, which means that the big dynamics is, of course, about the exact sequence of events related to the Tay rollout for this year.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, hey Christian, it's Uwe from Deutsche. Also three or maybe four questions, if I may. Just on the 1,500 doctors, are those primarily your own customers, which is something I would assume, but can you give us a kind of idea in terms of percentage, you know, how much of those would be not traditionally on your customer list, first question. Secondly, you also referred to this in your prepared remarks, that the Doctors Association was actually not very much in favor of an early start. I think they were quoted as aggressives abwarten, if I saw that correctly, so aggressive waiting, if you will, as an advice to the doctors, i.e. to the group they are representing. What do you make out of that, really, would be the first part of the question. Second part, what can you really change, you know, to make them, kind of pull them into your camp, if you will, if that is possible. And then also thirdly, I would be interested, what do the trial doctors really say? I mean, those 500 or so that you have actually installed, have you had some feedback? Can you use the feedback of them, you know, to kind of also sell this more proactively in your marketing efforts, if you will? Or do these doctors really see this as a yeah, almost a vaccine that you simply have to take because someone else is prescribing it. Just some initial feedback on you know, doctors who have tested the system now for some time would be much appreciated. Thank you.
So for the first question, the 1,500, they are for all practical purposes only own doctors. Any doctor can order online, but it's very much tailored to our own customers and, of course, from our sales campaign and the dealers, they are in this phase working exclusively with our own customers. Again, I think it's important for us to generate a movement and a momentum. So we need to start with the highest probability in terms of early adopters and also where we have the highest influencing factor, and that's our own customers. Which is also related to the second point. Yes, we are disappointed in the stance that's been taken by the Doctors Association, especially the Federal Association. We've seen all their communication, but not seen any good arguments why they have chosen this stance. What is interesting is that, and there you see that, you know, being a physician is in many ways a free profession, that despite those communications from the KBV, there's very strong interest from the overall doctors community. So 2 days before yesterday's article, an interview with the KBV chairman, my colleague Uwe Eibich was interviewed also in Ärzte Zeitung, and it's by far the article with the most page hits on, so there's a lot of interest. And we are communicating, you know, we take the approach of positive communication. It's not for us to argue why the KBV is wrong. We argue strongly why we are right. So we don't really make up anything about the KBV stance. We just observe that's how it is. What we are now doing is that we are working very proactively with the local KVs. Keep in mind that the doctors do not belong as members to the KBV. They belong to a local KV. So there are 17 of those in Germany for doctors and 17 for dentists. Each and every one of them will be visited, and many of them are arranging information sessions to their members, inviting us, or we have invited ourselves, so that we can explain to the doctors what all of this is and why it makes sense both for doctors and for German healthcare overall. And that's something that is crystal clear. We did a survey among doctors in Germany together with the main doctors' newspaper, or the Ärzte Zeitung, and the conclusion there is most doctors have no clue about why and how and what this is all about. And again, we are truly taking this opportunity to communicate directly with the doctors through our dealers, through our own customer relationships, and through their local doctors' associations, the local KVs, and to explain all the positive aspects that are associated with this network and how it can be used to improve healthcare in general and also the work of doctors. You know, it's not necessarily an easy sell, but we are encouraged by the initial reception, and we think that just building on this movement is the right approach, and then, you know, the KBV can do a little bit what they want. And you will see us now more and more active in press, in media, and in our communication to drive this message through, which is a positive message. In all of this, I don't think that further use of the trial doctors would be so much more power. The statements that came out during the test period were all positive, so even the chairman of the KBV had positive comments around the trials. I mean, in general, for most of the installations, it was a non-issue. It was fast, it was convenient, the checking of cards was without any, say, extra load or inconvenience for the doctors. Then came the logistics of managing rejected cards with insurance companies. This was clearly an area where it was clear that the insurances were not necessarily ready to respond to such situations. That's something new. So that's, of course, important that that gets properly addressed. And also as volume grows and where the load of such requests will increase. So that needs to find its way in form. Yeah, but other than that, I think that's the trials have served their purpose. Now it's much more important, as I said, to explain to doctors just the basics of what this is, to demystify it, and to create some movement around the rollout and not look further back into the trials.
That's very clear. Thank you very much.
It's Lasse from Hauck & Aufhäuser. Just coming back to the TI rollout, the card reader and the central components, the certification is expected also for end of September, because you haven't mentioned it in the presentation here with a date. And then coming to the current bottleneck, so is it right to see that the current bottleneck is your connector production? Assuming that Ingenico is able to produce 30,000 units. So is it fair to assume that you ship or sell 30,000 units this year as max? And what about the production capacity then for next year? Is it still kept at, well, 30,000, so 10,000 per month, or can you adjust this to get to higher shipments? Thanks, Christian.
Yeah, so to your first question, I guess the reason why we didn't put dates in is that, strictly speaking, it's not for us to make promises on behalf of unrelated parties. We are dependent on them. We certainly hope, encourage, and assist in any which way we can so that they also will finish in September. I would say, that's what we do. It's just the fact that we, for the connector and for the VPN access service, we have our hands 100% on the steering wheel and all other controls. And on the two other main components, we are more dependent on two very reputable, strong, and experienced companies. So I guess we just cannot say it with the same conviction in terms of such an accurate date. But broadly speaking, they are fully in line and synchronized with our own, say, completion processes and plans. Current bottlenecks, maybe Ingenico has more strings to play on. I think they certainly have. They have more certified already production sites that they can deploy. I'm not sure that they will be able to make so much more than 30,000, as they also have lead times and other jobs and tasks at hand to do in their overall corporation. But I think the hardware limitation, or say cap of about 30,000 units, is probably the hardest on the list so far, which kind of takes the theoretical maximum for this year. Next year, that's very different. I think then there's probably no real end to what you can do. Then you are more in production. I think by then it's really going to be only orders that will limit the whole thing. We will have components, certification, accreditation is a non-issue, that's done. Hardware production in such a time frame can be ramped up to very significant numbers if needed. Installation is already something that has a high capacity and that's something that's scalable. We haven't even tapped into, say, using external third parties in terms of hardware technicians, which we could. So then it's really, for next year, it's really orders and only orders.
Okay. So to clarify, if we assume 30,000 shipments this year, times 3,100 euro per unit, something like 90 million extra revenues here from the TI rollout, and that adds up to your traditional business, which is far above your guidance then for revenues.
That's not what we want to say. We say that is the theoretical maximum.
Okay.
What we would expect is what Knut Woller said, which is in the range of 5,000 to 15,000.
Okay, thanks for clarification.
That appears to be the last question. Thank you for your interest. Please follow us in the continuation of this, and if not before, we hope to see most of you on October 12th in our investor conference. And for those of you who cannot make it then, certainly we hope that you will revisit us on November 9th, which is the third quarter financial report and conference call. Thank you and have a good evening.